We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Did you almost forget, John?
I was reading chat.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'm like, you're like, I was like, uh-oh. Is there a delay?
Asking about the Takeover Tuesday in chat.
Oh, yeah.
Came out super late. I just got it like
That's great, great. Let's get to that. The audio only podcasts have been coming out delayed. I've talked to Martin. They're always scheduled to go out at all of our shows go out at midnight of the day of the release. So like this one will come out Friday at midnight. So ever since I've realized we're like, you know, literally around the world international, I'm like, let's just put them out at midnight, and you know, people, for you know, you're getting them in the afternoon, whatever, in Australia, whatever. But I don't know, the last couple of weeks they're not going, they're scheduled but they're not actually clicking off and going. So today I forgot to check when I got up, and then it would, I'm like, oh geez, it was, I think PK was the first one to remind me, and usually by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, somebody in the world has told me, is there one today? And I'm like, oh crap. But here's the thing, everybody, and we don't talk enough about this here, in at any time, just go to brightsidehometheater.com. It's every podcast, day and date, they come out, all the MP3s are right there. You just click on it and you can get that right away, and just, you'll be able to listen to it through an MP3. I know it's not your podcast stream, but that one, because I upload everything to the website, Nerdy Legion does their version, I upload it to there, and then of course, if we have a YouTube, it goes at same time, midnight. But yeah, if it's ever not there, just go to the website and you can get the MP3 version right there. So sorry about that. Funny, and it's been happening for a couple weeks too. So I don't know. Like I said, I talked to Martin. He said he was going to look into it. He's the one that runs the Nerdy Legion for us. But so, yeah. So sorry about that. But yeah, just check there. And then if you see it's not there, hit me up. Just say, hey, where is it, Deej? And I'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta check Nerdy Legion again, because it's not the first thing I'm thinking of when I get up in the morning.
Nothing like a little bit of low-level harassment to get you going in the morning, Deej.
It's not, but it's not, no, that's, I feel bad it's not out, you know. And actually last night when I went to bed, I was like, oh, I should wake up at, whenever I get up in the middle of the night, I'll check my phone, and because all I gotta do is, it's there, and it says it went out, but it didn't go out, so all I gotta do is hit update, because, so on our how we do it, I can schedule it, or I can just flat out publish it. And if I publish it, it just goes out as soon as I click. So I schedule it, and then, you know, a couple days later when it goes to go out, I go on and it says pending episode. All right. Oh, it says it's published. I just hit published and it goes out. So it's a weird, weird funk. It's got a weird little thing to it for some reason, because it's been working for years for us. Yeah. So I don't know. So, but anyways, it's there. And, you know, and of all things, this today's with John Brock was a mess because John and I had issues with the recording, and that's part of the thing. It's like John Ciccone knows this doesn't go smoothly. We've smoothed out the bumpiness over the years. And, John Brock and I experienced some bumpiness, and we smoothed it all out, and we had a good time doing it. And John kept apologizing, and I'm like, don't apologize. And I want people to know crap happens. So don't be afraid when you come on, if crap happens, it's just what happens. It's technology. So let's just have fun with it. And John and I did, we had a blast. We got to hang out twice, like 2 hours each time, trying to, second time was a little bit more talking and less fiddling with our gear, but that's not a euphemism.
What? Yeah. What have you told you about not fiddling with your gear when you're talking to strange men on the internet, Deej?
Hey, Prockstar's not strange to me anymore.
No, well, not now.
Not after the last couple of weeks. Oh, man. So, all right. John, you weren't in the show yet, but we are opening with something big and huge, regarding our donation for this month. We've got two donations to go with. This one first from Paul, sent in $10 box of popcorn. Thought I'd throw that up there. So thank you, Paul. But, Which one of you gentlemen would like to read this one? Because I read it at home and then showed my wife, and I'm like, damn dust in this place is killing me. So do you want to take an attempt at it, or do you want me to do it?
Well, I think that we know that John can't be punished via lines, because we know he did those in advance. So as a late arrival, perhaps John should have to do it.
All right, so it says, I have attached the receipt for my donation to JDRF. I hope it isn't too much. I was happy when you and Joe Klusnick announced that your show would be supporting JDRF for the month of May. I wanted to help. Having a daughter who has had it since she was 11 years old, I was planning on donating. When my mother-in-law, Charlotte, passed away this week on May 22nd, and it was announced that her wishes were for donations to be sent to JDRF, I knew I had to donate more. Maybe we should only ask Joe to only double half of the amount and call it good. $522 seems like an appropriate amount to donate for me, because it is May 22nd. I am not looking for recognition on this, so you don't have to say my name, but you can say my daughter's name, Danica, if you feel it is appropriate. I guess I do. Who has yes, a YouTube channel to help kids and parents with this condition? Diabetic Danica. She is a diabetes educator as a result of her life experience. Thank you so much, DJ. Sincerely, Anonymous. Just a side note, Charlotte was 93 years old and a mother to 10 children, my wife being the youngest one. This is great, knowing how the donation is going to be a great blessing.
Yeah. So, thank you, Anonymous. I know who it is. You guys do too. But, wow. Yeah, that's I had to read it twice to figure out the 522, because I couldn't do math at the time. I'm like, wow, how did he come up with that? And then I had my wife read it, and she read it, and she goes, how did he come up with 522? And then I read it a second time. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Me, I got it, 522. That's amazing. Whatever Joe wants to double, you know, that's up to him. It's because I don't think he was expecting anything like this. I personally wasn't expecting anything like this. So thank you very much. But it is. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Sorry, buddy. Should we say again what JDRF is for anyone that's just listening tonight that perhaps might have missed the last couple?
Yeah, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Links are in the show notes. By the time this podcast comes out live, it will be June. It will still be in that show. But if you want to, the link is there that, you know, Anonymous used. You can donate directly to that, or you could, if it's before Wednesday, if you want to donate either a box of popcorn to me, to us, and then all of it is going directly to, we're donating 100% of everything that comes into the podcast this month to JDRF. And then Joe Klusnick is going to, he had said at the beginning of the month, he was on a Takeover Tuesday at the beginning of the month, he's gonna match it, whatever this podcast comes up with. So rough estimate right now, we've come up with over $800 already. So, that's and then this being Tuesday, tomorrow, Wednesday, the 31st would be the last day of the month. So if you get me either a receipt in, we can add to that, or you can send me a, and that's what he did here. He attached the receipt from the JDRF Foundation, or Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. He sent me that, and or you can just, you know, you buy us a box of popcorn, and then I add that to my total when I make our payment. So whichever you'd like to do, be great. Just let us know. So that's what we're doing this month.
As Kevin Smith says, a big bucket of win, of course, to Charlotte.
Yep.
93 years old, mother of 10 children.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah. Man, that's that. I got to say, that's got to be, John, you might know, that's got to be a colorful life. You don't have 10 kids in your family, but you have a lot of kids. And
we have seven, but
yeah.
You know, like my stepmother was one of 13. Mm-hmm. So she's had, you know, I've been surrounded by big families my whole life, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have seven children, nine grandchildren. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost a bus full.
It is. It's a baseball team.
There you go.
The Arkham A's or something.
That's right. We can feel the team.
Yeah. But that just makes for such, I think, just makes for such a colorful life.
Just
with, you know, never a dull moment.
There isn't. There's always something.
And a lot of babysitting.
I don't know how it is in his family, but there's lots of hands out.
let me just
say that when you've got 10 kids or 9 kids, there's lots of hands out. But
so thank you, Anonymous. I emailed him and thanked him as well, but yeah, that was amazing. So thank you very much. So what a way to start the show, huh?
Yeah.
So how was your week?
Very, very busy. And can I just say right at the top of the show, Deej, or nearly at the top of the show, I've only put in our home theater experiences about half of the stuff I watched this week. It's somehow, again, I've just seen loads of stuff, much of which just has not made the show. Just we'd be here all night.
Good. Good for you.
And are you wielding the ban hammer again, Deej, because Van Gool called me George in the chat. Can we ban them?
Oh, jeez. Here we go. Did he?
5:03 p.m. But I'm not counting your time.
Okay.
See, I missed that one.
Let's guess what movie George has been three times this week. I assume he means seen.
Well, maybe he's like those people, like we used to call John Cirque. People, I'm Briggsy. So maybe he's just one of those people that calls people by their last name. No, do you ever think of that?
Georgie, and then it sounds like it. So we can't be having that.
Yeah. So I'll start calling John Cirque. That'll be a blast from the past, huh?
Yeah, that's been a long time.
Yeah, when was the last time somebody called you that?
I don't know, 1980.
That's a name I've not heard for a long time.
Yeah, probably.
Well, of course I know him.
I am him.
He's me.
And in canon, it was only about 10 years ago. So can you say if you've not heard it for 10 years, you know, that's a name I've not heard for a long time.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's misremembering.
All right. You ready to get to some experiences here?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
All right. We have a bunch here. And just before we get on, I actually had to snap a picture because I forgot to add one of my own. I'm going to jump with this and we're going to lead right into two of John's, if that's all right.
Sure.
Because this was one for me from last week. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We did get that email this week, or the comment. Did you guys see that on YouTube? Apparently, we're so excited about some of these movies, we're not saying what they are.
Yeah.
To be fair, we buried them a couple of times. Like with Hero, we were about 10 minutes in, and then someone said Hero.
Yeah.
We are looking at the screen with the titles on it, and we're assuming everybody else is doing the same.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
That's how unprofessional we are.
Yeah.
That's how excitable we are.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, squirrel. Pretty much. So, back to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kaleidoscape 4K HDR Atmos. I watched this last week and we didn't get to, you know, I was like, I could push that off. It didn't seem as timely. I got to tell you, home theater experience of this, really good. I didn't have anything really of note. I'm just going back through the Guardians movies because, Volume 3 is literally my favorite of Guardians now, and I see why after seeing this. This one wasn't terribly strong to me. It was a little bit better, a little bit more things like, did you know, when was the last time you guys saw this? Do you remember?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's probably a couple of years. Yeah, and I think I've only seen my 4K disc once of this.
Yeah. Gamora falls off multiple cliffs in this.
Yeah.
Like multiple cliffs. And every time you see it, you're like, oh, there's foreshadowing. Then it happens again. Well, there's foreshadowing. You're like, what the hell? You know, I'm like, did they do that on purpose? I'm like, did they know? And this came out fairly close, right?
2016? So 2 years?
Was it 16?
Guardians was 2014. So this is probably 2016. So 2 years before we get Infinity War and or Endgame even. I mean, so do you think they're that diligent with it? I'm not sure. I think they were flying by the seat of their pants for lots of these. I don't know.
Was this after Ragnarok? I forget.
Oh, I don't think so.
I'll tell you now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guardians.
Because don't they find, I forgot to go and watch the end trailer. Don't they bump into him there? Or is that at the end of Ragnarok, he bumps into them?
Let me tell you now.
Remember? Guardians,
so volume 2 is 2017.
Okay.
Ragnarok.
Yeah. And then Infinity War was 2018.
Same year, 2017. They both came out the same year.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, Infinity War was 2017?
No, that was 2018. No. Ragnarok and Guardians 2 came out the same
That's year. What I mean. They were very close. Yeah. And they all like were really leading right up into Infinity War. So there was a lot of like fun little Easter egg stuff like that that you notice after the fact that I thought was good. There was one thing that I made note of at 1 hour and 40 minutes, roughly. You remember the scene where Peter is, Rocket is telling Groot how to set the timer, right? And he's like, don't push this one, push this one, right? And then Rocket yells back through the little opening in the wherever they're in, a rock or whatever. I can't remember exactly. And he yells to Peter, do we have any tape? And because he wants to put a piece of tape over it. And so Peter goes, I don't have any tape. Let me find out. And he's out in space, right? So Peter's out in space flying around and he leaves the window and goes down the left side of the room talking to all the characters. Do you have any tape? And it moves down the room. Like you can't see him just like it would. And it was really cool because like he'll say it and then he'll move along and then his voice will jump to the next spot. Then he comes back to the window, which goes back up to the front. And he's like, no, we don't have any tape. And like, or what did what's his name say? He's like, scotch tape? Yeah, that would work. No, I don't have any of that either. Why would you mention that? but it's a fun movie. I think it is a really good home theater experience. But I can't really, it's of the three, it's my least favorite. The first one was greatly enhanced to me after the third one, but the third one's definitely my favorite.
I have now seen the third one. That's one of the films I saw this week. And yes, it is really good. I did enjoy it. I could have done without some of the earlier stuff with the animals. I think there is a story that can be told without some of that. And especially where we've got a pet bunny that looks exactly like Floor. So I could really have done without that. It was very, very good though. And the little bit in the, where they talk about how they've been flying was genuinely emotional. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't roll a tear during that bit. I thought that was actually quite touching. As was the very last bit as well, I think, as well, where he re-encounters an old character. I thought that was actually very, very sweetly done as well. And actually, bearing in mind the last two or three years we've all been through, and many of us have lost people that we were very close to, that was actually quite a moving scene. Overall, I think you're right. I think it is the best of the three, even with the troubling elements about the animals. It was really good. But I'll be curious, John, to find out when we do the spoiler bit, what the bit was you really didn't like.
Oh, sure.
I'm looking forward to finding out what that is.
I'd forgotten about that, but
so did I. Yeah, that's funny.
Sorry to bring back bad memories.
No.
All right.
Actually, just before we leave that, Deej, because Paul has put in the chat, and we've got to say who's who. So Paul Hurt in the chat.
Yeah.
Again, that's the other thing we do. We read it out and don't say who it is, so anyone listening to it then doesn't know. So Paul says, I don't think Gunn knew what the Russo's plan was, that we did originally plan to kill her in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and they asked him not to. So Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
So maybe he kept trying to throw her off cliffs and they kept bouncing. They kept throwing her back up to the top.
Wile E. Coyote special. Yeah.
Exactly.
Get off of there. And they just
get off of there.
Flying back up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, no, but I was thinking just for continuity's sake.
Yeah.
Let's roll. Go ahead, John.
I mean, title, this is super please. Quick, right? Yeah. So I watched, I did a double feature of Infinity War and Endgame, 4K disc, of course, HDR, Dolby Atmos. I mean, what is there to say about these? Everybody knows these movies, right? I think this might have been my first time on my discs, though.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't watch these movies as often as you guys do. I saw these in the theater, and I probably saw them on Disney Plus or something one time, but I haven't really seen these movies that many times. Like I said, what is there to say? They're fantastic. They're fantastic movies. The transfers are incredible. The Dolby Atmos is great. I will say that back to back is a little bit much, because this is a long thing when you go back to back. It's almost 6 hours, and I did find myself halfway through Endgame really starting to drift a bit. You know, spending a little bit more time scrolling on my phone.
Yeah.
Not really paying attention, because I'd been 5 hours into this already. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I really didn't plan on spending a lot of time on these. There's nobody listening that hasn't seen these movies, you know, on disc or Kaleidoscape or what have you. They're incredible. I've said it many times, I think really on the other show, but I view these as one movie, you know, like this is one event.
Yeah.
You know, when I rank my MCU movies, I rank these as a whole entity, and then everything else comes underneath it, because they
category
really
unto themselves.
Really, one or the other. You know, they're just not a complete. They're not a complete story. Although I will stand by, I've always maintained that I think Infinity War is just slightly better of the two, and I really reinforced that for myself again when I watched these. DJ will know. I had a couple of issues with Endgame over the years, but ultimately they're, like I said, they're fantastic. You know, definitely if you haven't seen them in a while, you should dust them off and watch them again, because they're really good. And I think most things since have kind of paled to what we got with these. So
yeah, they definitely, so everything that has come since in the main has suffered in comparison, hasn't it? I don't think so. I mean, there have been some great movies after this, but nothing's quite reached the, I mean, these are excellent movies, aren't they? These are instant classics. I would say.
And it's an achievement. I mean, the achievement was just something we had never undertaken in the history of movies, right? Like nothing. Yeah. I mean, we have 9 Star Wars movies, but even that wasn't like what we got with this. You know, 22 movies, whatever it was. Now, not every movie was just completely dialed into this, you know, to this narrative, but I mean, they all connected, and like, we've never seen anything like it. And I don't think we're going to get it again, even with the Kang stuff or anything that's coming. I just don't know that we're going to replicate what we got with these. So it was definitely something.
Yeah.
I think Marvel at the moment are saying, Kang? Who's Kang? Kang? No, we never heard of Kang.
Yeah, who's he? Quite. Exactly.
Although Loki
season 2 is going to drop soon, and they're going to have a big reminder.
No, these films are fantastic. I mean, I agree. The home cinema stuff's fantastic. When I watched these, when I got them on disc, because they came out the same day, I think, if I remember rightly.
Did they?
I watched the first one, then I had an hour lunch break, and then watched the second one straight after. And it was a day well spent.
Right.
You know, that hour's break in between was enough to kind of reset a bit. And whatever else Endgame might have in terms of issues, and I don't think there are many for me, the portals sequence, and you know, and again, we're not spoiling anything here. You know, as soon as that hammer reaches, as soon as Patrick Stewart turns up,
right?
No, it's all good. But as soon as the hammer goes to the person that you don't expect it to go to, everything is forgiven, and everybody just hoots and hollers. And you can do that in your own home theater. You know,
it's still hits. That moment still hit even, you know, even though I've seen it a couple times, you know, when it happens, it's still like, man, when he says Avengers Assemble, you know, you get a little shiver down your spine.
Yeah,
quite. So.
Yeah. Music too, the Portals music, when you get that drum beat, you know, you just get that on, you know, you get that do-do, and then it's, you know, it's on your left, and then it's just, you know, absolute heaven, isn't it? Again, I mean, with Van Gaal, I mean, we're all friends again now, Van Gaal. All right, we're all friends again. I've forgiven you, mate. I like to think I'm fickle with my affection. So, you know, you're back in my okay list again. So asking, will we ever get Marvel IMAX on disc? If they've got any sense at all, if Disney's have got any sense whatsoever, they'll give it 30, 35 films, but all the IMAX enhanced on one in one box set, charge us $1,000 each, and we'll go, yes, please, would you like some more?
Yep.
You know, we would. But Paul is also saying in chat about he thinks that the Disney Plus IMAX versions are better than the discs. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that personally. I mean, look, they are cool and it's good that we've got access to them, but I think I treat those as a bit of a curiosity. It's the discs for me. I mean, I still haven't watched Quantumania. I haven't had a chance to see the disc of that. But I still personally think that the discs are better. And that's proved with, you know, recent discs as well. But, you know, what do you think, DJ? Anyway, sorry, you haven't weighed in on these.
Oh yeah, no. First up, when these came out on 4K, I watched all four Marvel Avenger movies in a row that day. I planned to take the day off, and I was like, "I'm doing it." And it's like, and yeah, John, I know how you're like.
It's a little too much Avengers for one day.
It's a lot, but it was fun to go through and do it, and especially at the time. I think you're. I forget, but I'm. I feel like you're right, Steve. I think they did all come out in 4K at the same time after Endgame did. And it was let's go. Yeah, it was like a big deal because 4K was still fairly new back then, especially in the home and Atmos as well. But to get to the question, will we get these in IMAX? I've been speculating. John and I have been talking about it since 2018 when we talked about IMAX enhanced and that they were saying DTSX would be part of that. And in the theaters, they were talking IMAX scenes. They were all these different movies. And then Disney came out with their deal of doing the streaming. I have to think that there's a thing going like behind the scenes. It's like they plan on putting these out eventually in DTSX, IMAX enhanced, and the whole nine yards. Because like you said, I think it was part of the plan altogether. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if like 10 years from now, they are already out, but 10 years from now, we find out like COVID might have delayed a lot of stuff because they were scrambling for things. And to release at that time, that's not the best time, right? And it's like, let's hit them in the pocketbook for now. Not a good time. So I wouldn't be surprised if that has a ripple effect on these things. But I've been saying since 2018, since Todd Anderson and I have talked about this, just in conjunction with when IMAX, he was at some show in like 17 or 18 talking about IMAX enhanced. And I was talking and everybody IMAX enhanced when that first came out, I was like, here we go. Now we're going to be getting the, you know, hopefully that's what Disney's going to be doing. And I even incorporate all of that. Okay. And going back to 2018 and John knows this, that's where we're going to get. Nobody's going to have Atmos mouse anymore. When they come out on DTSX, everybody's going to be like, that's real power. And, you know, because DTS, it's typically over the years has had the little bit of a bass boost over any Dolby stuff. Not one's better than the other. They can both do the exact same thing, but DTS tends to boost the bass a little bit more, a little brighter in the overheads, doing all, you know, which we all love. When those come out in IMAX enhanced, everybody's going to be like, oh my God, this is the ultimate edition and the best sound and the best picture. And you get full screen and, you know, the 240:1 screen people will be screaming and everybody's going to be yelling and debating and people buying out the window. It'll be a juggernaut. It'll be like Maverick last year and everybody talking about it. And I hope with all the news we're hearing about Disney going back to physical media, I hope all this is part of it, because there's a huge opportunity there. And when, after Ragnarok, I was like, are they doing this on purpose? So that when the DTSX version comes out, we're all like, I gotta have that. And it's how funny would that be? But
yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I think Disney lost their way for a little while with their physical media stuff. And again, I'm obviously, you guys know, a little bit privy to some behind the scenes stuff on this. Yeah. And I think they just lost their way. And everything went towards streaming, and it's streaming this, streaming that, let's stream away.
But do you see how I'm saying, like,
yeah,
COVID could be it. They may not have lost their way. They may have just been like, let's not hit people in the pockets now. Let's get this. Let's put all of our chips to streaming, which everybody's staying home and doing anyways. Let's get that going, and we'll cash in when people start getting more, getting back to normal.
Yeah. Based on what they were charging for their theme parks and everything like that, I think.
Well, the theme parks were closed.
Yeah, but I don't think they were that bothered about people's pockets, pocketbooks. Yeah. I mean, I think this
point. They're not too concerned.
Yeah, well, quite. I think this might be what they are now kind of being a bit more live to now. But yeah, I'd like to think at some point, you know, whether it be just before the Kang dynasty, whatever the, you know, the thing's going to be, or before Secret Wars or whatever we're going to get, that just before that, someone goes, let's do a James Bond box set style thing.
Yeah.
We'll chuck your IMAX enhanced in there, and we'll give you your normal ones as well. And as I said, you can pay us $1,000
for it. And Star Wars 77.
Yeah. And Mickey Mouse 22, and you can have, you know, all this stuff. We'll chuck it all together, and you can
pay us. Willy 37.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Lilo and Stitch 12. And then, you know, and it'll all be in a massive box, and we'll pay, you know, we'll get a second mortgage to right. own it. And you know, that'll be that. So we will see. Yes, Bangles just said a little bit slow there. So volume 3 is better than volume 2.
Yeah, talking to Stephen. Yeah.
Oh, Stephen Atzer, I was going to say. Yes, yeah. The answer.
Steve just came back from Guardians Volume 3, small theater with Dolby Surround. Only went because there's no date yet for streaming or disc. Can't wait because it will be much better here than what we heard. I can't wait to see this one at home as well, Guardians 3.
I had a rare experience with that this week. I saw it, and the image quality and the sound was really, really good. And yeah. I'm so used to kind of coming out and crapping on the audio and video, and actually it was really decent.
I don't think I've said that. I know I think I said it to, because he had the same experience too, Mikey Schramm. He said the same thing. It was the audio that I got, and I went to the same theater I always go to, but for some reason, the pans to the back and everything were way more engaging. And I don't, maybe because it was at times it was a little quieter, so you could actually get the pan. It wasn't so like the whole room wasn't alive. It was just like a nice whatever, but it did feel like a lot better of a sound mix in the theater. So I'm hopeful for, like, I know what I get at home is better than at that theater. So, and that one sounded really good. So,
yeah, I mean, smart money would say end of July. That's probably when we'll get it on Disney Plus, and then a couple of weeks after that, hopefully on disc. We'll see. But that's probably what we're looking at.
What was the latest one we just got, and we had no idea, and it showed up on Quantumania, and it just dropped on it. Like, it didn't go to Disney Plus. It's the first one that didn't go to Disney Plus first. It went to, like,
I just can't,
you know, pay for streaming. You could rent it or buy it or whatever digitally. That's what it was. So yeah, they're cashing in, and good for them. Good for them, because we're willing to buy it and support it. We'll get more DTSX.
Poor Disney. The money is so tight for the poor lambs.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not saying really support them. I'm saying support it, because if we don't, we're the only ones that want it, and if we don't buy it, nobody's going to buy it, and then they just won't sell it, and then we'll be like, why aren't they selling it? Because you never bought it. All right. Is that enough for our Marvel minute?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
make mine Marvel.
Yeah. All right, Steve, you want to do, let's do this one. I don't even know what this is.
Really? Did I not put that in the email?
You did. I've never seen the movie. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, John. Right. So this is
either,
Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Never heard of it.
Oh my goodness. Oh, gents. Oh, you are in for a treat. My goodness. Right. This is Andy Samberg, comedy. It's basically a mockumentary about, it's basically taking the mickey out of Justin Bieber, essentially. Okay. And this is a comedy about a guy who was, when he was younger, in a group called the Style Boys. And then but he goes out on his own and he is called Connor and he becomes Connor for real. And the whole thing is a send up of people like Justin Bieber and the music industry. Gents, you will love this. It is an absolute classic. Yeah, Paul Hurt in the chat said very, very funny. This is an instant classic. Guys, I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
I've never heard of it. Nothing.
Have you got your ka-ching sounder, Deej? Are you looking on Kaleidoscape right now? If you're not, you should be.
No. I bought everything I bought last week. I still haven't watched. So, but actually, no, that's not true. Not true.
Okay.
But yeah, it's
very, very funny. It's an instant classic. Now, just very briefly, because this is quite an aside, you should see it, both of you. On streaming, yeah, it's fine. However, what I really wanted to mention is I chuck this on as I do occasionally. I've seen it a number of times. I think it's the first time in the cinema room, this one. So this is it. So again, Never Stop, Never Stopping. It's on a Blu-ray 1080p and DTS HD Master Audio, which is still good. Okay, 5.1 DTS HD. It's still good, guys. All right, this might not be Atmos, cocaine bear, but it's still good. All right. Anyway, so up next to Neural X, and it's really fun for a comedy. But there's a bit in there that I want you to keep an eye out for if and when you do watch this. At 22 minutes, this is something you are going to love, Deej. This if you're not already buying it, this will push you over the top. Okay, so you know about Kill Bill and the absence of sound in Volume 2 when they bury her in the coffin, right? Screen goes black and it's all just audio, okay? And we talked about that in other movies as well, including The Covenant. So in this film, at the 22-minute mark, Connor for real is with his manager and they're out having breakfast. And his sales of his album aren't going well. And he tells the people that are filming the mockumentary to stop filming. So the screen goes black, but the audio carries on. And what happens then is, and this will sound stupid as I tell you, but it is funny in the film. They are attacked by bees. And they then talk. And so you've then got subtitles coming up saying, what about the bees? Look out for the bees. And you've then got the bees all buzzing around the room. And they then said, look out for the queen. And you hear this giant bee thing. And they then pull out a flamethrower and start. And again, it's all black screen. You can just hear it. So you get very cool effect where it goes right around the screen and it's pitch black, apart from the subtitles of what they're saying. So if nothing else, it's worth seeing for that bit. 22-minute mark. It's really good. And I think you guys will love it. There's some very funny songs that again, send up the whole thing. It's really, really very good. A classic movie, guys. So yeah. Bye, bye, bye.
But it's $14.99.
Yeah. Still, that's outrageous. What, Kaleidoscape?
$43 Blu-ray. Yeah.
I'm surprised it's still so expensive. I mean, this is a movie going back to 2016, 17, but it is a classic film, guys. It's bound to be on Netflix or Amazon. It's bound to be. Rent it, see what you think of it. I think you will be hitting buy before the end of the film.
Can I show you something funny on Kaleidoscape for a second?
Porn section, Deej.
I need a drink.
I know. Well, Paul's had a rough day, I was going to. I should have opened with that, but on the Kaleidoscape. Let's go to the Kaleidoscape website and let me show you what I saw today on the Kaleidoscape. So we just lost Paul, probably.
he has had a rough day.
Yeah, just hit the floor. No, check this out. So I saw this today, Hypnotic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd never heard of it. It's, Ben Affleck and audio track, English DTS HD Master Audio 5.1, but it's in 4K, $29.99 purchase because it just came out. Okay, so I'm like, all right, maybe I'll pick that up. I want to hear some things about it. Never heard of it. Book Club, the next chapter. $29.99. Dolby Atmos. Who the hell wants to see the book club in Dolby Atmos?
Maybe they threw books.
That's in Atmos, and it's great because, like, look, when you look right here on the thing, it says, you see everything, right? You're like hypnotic, like, oh, it's in this one here, it's like hypnotic. It's like, what's it? To find his missing daughter, a detective works with a psychic to hunt down a mind-controlling criminal.
Gosh.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice action movie or something, right? Something interesting. And we're like, book club. Like, let's see. On a trip to celebrate Vivian's engagement, the four best friends find love and adventure as they travel across Italy in Dolby Atmos. Like, what the hell?
Well, I tell you what, DJ, I think we've established there's a pre-order there that you need to get on straight away. The About My Father, I hear, is very good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll probably like it because you like him.
Yeah,
what is it with Italy all of a sudden? Everyone's going to Italy, book clubs in Italy.
Yeah.
About My Father, Italian.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. It's great.
I don't know. Yeah.
So, all right. That was our Kaleidoscape minute for the moment.
The pop star, never stop, never stopping. Get on it, guys.
All right.
All right.
Added it to my list.
That's it for that. I've been looking to do this for a couple of weeks. And John Brockstar came up with this. We talked about it in the podcast. He mentioned the scene from the Book of Eli. Great. And it's right up, you know, Steve's or Mr. George's alley here with the Gatling gun.
Yes. Want to know how many times I've seen this film?
How many?
Probably over 50.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I love
this film. I haven't seen this in forever. I saw this scene. I watched the scene. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you know the twist at the end. We won't give it away.
No.
This film is fantastic. And based on a comic book, I do believe. John, in a graphic novel, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, the Gatling gun scene. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out. He mentioned it, so I screen grabbed it. It's at 1 hour, 19 minutes, 55 seconds. And you can see right here, this is just as they're going into it. The Gatling gun, you can see on the screen right now, is coming out of the back of the truck. And the way that thing, I mean, the sound of the gun itself, but then, like John said in the podcast on Tuesday, it was like, oh, it just goes right around the room. Really, really cool scene. And it's not, you don't need Atmos. You don't need DTS:X. You know, DTS Master Audio 5.1, very, very good. So is Dolby 5.1, very, very good. And the way we upmix it, and we'll talk about that in a future experience coming up tonight. But yeah, it's this scene here is absolutely fantastic. And as John put, reference level. So definitely check that out on your disc, on maybe even on a stream. I bet you on a stream it would be nice too, because it is pretty discreet. You might not get the full dynamics of it, but it's still a pretty good scene. So that's Book of Eli at 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds.
Stephen at in the chat. Oh, look, it rhymes. Look, I'm a poet and I don't know it. Stephen at in the chat. There we go. Says it's demo worthy. Yeah, the street shootout he's talking about. He says demo worthy in 5.1, like the street shootout. Yes, there are loads of demo scenes in this. The fight in the under the bridge, which is all done in silhouette, is really cleverly done as well. And also there's a similar fight in a pub where the camera rotates as he fights and you get people coming from each direction as well. It's a fantastic movie. This is one that I always forget to put on my please can I have it in 4K Blu-ray list, because it's such a good movie.
The tone and too.
The
way the movie's shot in I think the 4K would enhance that even more. You know,
it would have made the HDR and it would look incredible.
It doesn't hurt not being in 4K because it is a great movie. But it would be nice to get it in 4K, and if they threw in Atmos, it's fine, but it doesn't need it. But please, I love doing these specific things. That's how I started this podcast. If you have a scene, a specific scene like John had, let me give me a timestamp and I'll try to do this, because I have two more ready to go. I have an idea on how to do them, but I can at least do this. So I'll do those other ones. But
Deej, we'd be remiss if we didn't say, I've just realized from that still, Ray Stevenson was in that film, of course.
Yes. Yes.
So, and we'll be talking more about him in a moment.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, very sad passing. We mentioned it very briefly last week, but such a shame. At 58, that was just incredibly young.
I know.
Yeah. They still haven't said what happened to him, but I do hope. Hope his family and friends are okay.
Yep. All right. Let's see. What do we, John? You up next, or do you have one? Or I've you have those shared, more,
and then which we have a shared one. I have two shared ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Both great.
We have. Let's do that one then. There we go.
All right. So,
tell me what you thought of it.
Yeah, Steve and I both have this. This is Brotherhood of the Wolf. This is the 4K disc, HDR Dolby Atmos. This was a first time viewing for me. I think it was for Steve as well.
It was.
Mm-hmm. This movie was bonkers, man. I guess let's go back to the transfer first, right? Because that's what we're kind of here for. This is gorgeous. It looks great. The 4K transfer on this is fantastic. The sound is really, really good. Really good Dolby Atmos mix. I thought this disc itself was fantastic. Steve, agree, I would think.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I hadn't seen it either. From minute one, it looks stunning.
Yeah,
this could have been shot this year.
Yeah.
And it's from 2001.
2001, yeah.
Yeah, so 22 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked great. As far as the movie itself goes, without too many spoilers, but this was not what I expected from the title. I expected just kind of your run of the mill werewolf movie, and this is not that. It's sort of horror mystery with a bit of love story, some kung fu. Like, this has everything. It's like kind of like your smorgasbord of movie genres. I loved it. I thought it was great. It is, like I said, it is all over the place. It's kind of crazy, but I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And yeah, and I'm glad that it wasn't what I expected, because it's nice to be surprised when you go into things.
I agree. It's 153 minutes long. This is the director's cut, I think, isn't it? Yeah. So this, and it's directed by a guy called Christoph Gans, who is quite famous in France and elsewhere. And I think this is still one of the biggest French movies of all time. So it's in the French language for anyone that hasn't seen it. And I think, John, you and I might have been the last two people on earth that haven't seen it.
I think so.
Yeah. And because everyone.
I still haven't seen
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Oh, really?
Well, there we go. Well, so you could be the last one then, Deej.
I've owned it for over a year. Because this is the one that Rob and I are going to do from Rob from AV Rant. And he told me about it over a year ago. He's like, that's the one next time he comes on and does actual. He's been on since then. But next time he comes on to talk about a specific movie, he's like, I really want to do this one. I'm like, all right. So I just bought it right then. Right. I bought it. First time I bought it, on disc. I bought the Blu-ray. It was before I had a Kaleidoscape, so that's how far back it goes. And it's funny, it was coming out, and when I heard it was coming out, I texted him. And so as soon as he gets an opportunity to watch it and get the... I don't know if he has it in Canada.
Now, has Kaleidoscape upgraded to 4K?
Not yet.
Not yet.
And I'm kind of waiting for that.
I don't know what the Blu-ray looks like, but the 4K transfer is beautiful. And of course,
the Blu-ray doesn't look great.
All's Quiet, you only get Atmos in the French mix.
You don't get
Atmos anywhere else, which is the only way you want to watch this anyways.
You're right, John. It is a mixture of genres as well. It's a mixture of different things. And I said, Christoph Gans apparently said that he wasn't sure after this film that anyone would let him make another movie. So he decided to make every movie that he wanted to make in one.
Right.
Just to be on the safe side. So yes, it is part horror film. It's part kung fu film. It's part romantic epic. It's part French genre movie. I mean, it is bonkers, as you say, but very, very good. I was never bored during this.
No.
And I never felt, I also never felt lost. I never thought, I don't understand what's going on, or it's so French that I don't get the cultural kind of messages. It really did go well and play well. I thought it was great. Now, did you think the story was familiar, John? Because you've seen this story recently in another film.
I have, huh? It didn't strike me anyways. No, it didn't.
Shall I tell you?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you saw Cursed recently. Can you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That is this, because this is very, 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 very loosely based on the true story of the Beast of Gavignon.
Right.
And Cursed is that story. That's okay. The same story told in a much more pulpy way. That's the movie that over here is called Eight for Silver that right. I talked about a while back. That was the show that I was ill for, and I couldn't, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But that's the same story, obviously without kung fu.
Right.
Without all the romanticism.
Yes, I didn't put it together.
But yeah, so this is great. And again, I mean, we are one of the very few people who haven't seen it. Well, we have seen it now. Deej will be the last person on earth, as we say. but no one sees it and then goes, well, that was a bit rubbish. You know,
yeah.
Everybody right. just goes, wow. Cause there's a lot of film, whatever else you might say about it. You get a lot of film for your money.
You do.
And by the way, I'm not sure you can call this a werewolf film. Cause
no, it's really, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Actually, it's not sure it's a werewolf, but
it's
anyway,
it's not what you think it is. And you know, again, you guys know me a little bit by now. I don't do a lot of first day purchases. Like I had this on release, based on Steve and I talking about it. And I bought it on the show while we were recording.
I'm rubbing off on you
because I don't do a lot of first. I'm okay waiting a month or two and getting, $10 off. You know, I don't buy a lot of full price stuff. But I did buy this right away and I wasn't disappointed. I really liked it. So,
but yeah, definitely, you know, to say about the transfer. I mean, however it may have looked before, this is just absolutely stunning. And I put some pictures up on Twitter. Again, there's another one of these movies where I didn't have to look for scenes and have to really find stuff. It's just hit pause and take a picture. You know, I mean, it just looks gorgeous from a movie 22 years old that would have been a big budget movie in France, but it was not a big budget movie for Hollywood standards.
Right.
And yet it looks incredible. The pores, the individual hairs and details on the skin of the actors, you know, Mark Dacascos, you know, you can see every little bit of it. And when he's got his tattoos and his face painting and stuff, it looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be very curious to see what you make of this, Deej.
You said the Blu-ray.
No,
didn't
not good.
Look good.
No, same with this. Everything you're saying about it.
Big upgrade.
Well, I was going to say, I'm like, everything you're saying, it sounds like it's going to be like The Saint. Remember I talked about The Saint a few weeks ago, and the Blu-ray on that was as soon as you hit play, you're like, you see the speckles, you see like just, you know, dirty looking film. It just, it's awful. And it's the same with this. But then when you go to the 4K, it's just like pristine. It's like somebody cleaned the window and everything. And you're like, this is beautiful. So everything you're saying about it is like, it reminds me a lot of what I was thinking and watching when I was watching The Saint. So
This was Studio Canal, Steve, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of back catalog remasters, I'd put this up with Lawrence of Arabia in Gandhi.
Yes.
In terms of just the, I mean, obviously they're not the same suite.
They're not as old, but
not the same cost. But it's certainly, you know, it is absolutely stunning. I mean, it really is incredible. There's no faulting any of this. In terms
it's done a native 4K, so it's probably done right from original film, which is, you know, nice because it wasn't shot digitally, I don't believe.
Not in 2001. Not back then. It wouldn't have been. No.
So, yeah, let me look to see what The Saint is. Let me look that one too. See, I think that one was also shot the same way. Actually, I don't know because we can't tell because they don't have that on disc. So never mind. I can't look it up on Blu-ray.com. I don't know how it was, remastered, but it did. It looked gorgeous on Kaleidoscape. There you go, Paul. But yeah, it's, Yeah, just, Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Let us know, Paul, when you're going to pass out, mate. I'm in England. I'll call the ambulance for you, buddy. Right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let us know where you are. just make a message every now and then so we know you're still conscious.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to wonder if this will end up on Kaleidoscape, though.
Might not, because again,
it might not, because
studio,
it's,
it was small, yeah. Studio, you know, small studio.
Yeah.
It's worth, you'd probably, if you're going to do this as a show, you want to buy the disc. I think you.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will. You know, like when Rob and I are going to do
we've
it.
We've only bought it twice, so what's one more time?
I know, huh? I have it on disc, I have it on Kaleidoscape, now I got to buy it on disc again.
Yep. And it's 153 minutes, Steve, so that's quite a long time between getting up and going to the disc tray.
Right.
So that should be, you should be fine.
Yeah, it should be all right. Well, once I put it in, I just, I'll leave it there. it's not like I use the disc player that often. to be fair, sorry. Okie dokie. All right.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. Let's move this. Let's move this bus bench along. Paul's doing well so far, he says. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so far. Still early, Paul.
Kaleidoscape.
Not here, it's not.
Yeah, I know.
I'm closing here.
All right. Steve, I cannot wait to hear what you think, because you're like a first-time viewer to this. And tell the podcast audio-only listeners what we're talking about.
We're talking about Frasier season one. No, sorry.
Niles never looked better.
Yeah. Is that in a 4K release?
Yeah. So this is the lesser-seen niche TV series called House of the Dragon. And by the way, your welcome to 2022 tweet was very funny. I absolutely love that. That was very funny. I shared that with others who were laughing their heads off. Okay, so House of the Dragon. Who knew? Game of Thrones has got a prequel. Don't tell anyone. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've had this release in December. Yeah. I've had this since its release in December, and just could not get round to it. Everything kept coming in and I could never get round to it. So finally, Saturday night, I sat down and started it. Boy, oh boy, is it good. Now, I've only seen two episodes so far. We didn't get I watched one, so Sunday night, and then one last night. It's fantastic. I'm really, really enjoying it. And a big dopey grin came over my face on last night when episode two started and that music kicked in. I did not know that it had the same theme music.
Yeah.
So once that started, of course, it was just a big dopey grin. Here we go. And it's got to be, mustn't it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. So just let's go with the music again. We're not going to better that. Let it go. So anyway, really enjoyed it. I'd been told that it was a bit talky. And I think I said to you guys before, one of my friends was like, yeah, it's really talky, Steve. It's quite slow.
Talky?
Is it?
Like, what are they supposed to do?
Isn't
it acting?
Well, there is a lot of dialogue in it, but it's dialogue that has purpose and it has presence and it's got portent and it's got weight and heft. And I mean, it's riveting dialogue. There's nothing wrong with any of that.
That's what I mean. Like, did they expect a show of mimes? Like, what do you mean talky?
There's a lot of shows that are a lot of talk, you know?
I would never consider like these because you're engaged, exactly like Steve's describing. It's like, without the talky, what do you got? Like, dragons walking around?
it's not Aaron Sorkin, is it? You know, I mean, it's definitely got more, you know, more to that. But, and as I said, the dialogue has meaning to it. It's not it's not just talking for the sake of it. There's so much to it. So it was great. I mean, I was a bit distracted initially with the first small council meeting. I'm like, that's Rhys Ifans. Oh, look,
Paddy Considine is great.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. Who I've met, as I've seen, his friend of the show without him ever having been on here.
Right.
Cause he's been in so many of the movies I've reviewed. But it's great. But you know, episode one and two, fantastic. Now, in terms of the home theater stuff, I don't think I've got to the bits that people say are troubling yet.
No,
like episode seven.
Fine. Okay. There we go.
I think it's like six or seven, and then there's a couple others after that
Pretty much from seven to through 10 are okay. Very, very all right,
well,
dark.
There we go. And so, because I was going to say, because at the moment, the dark stuff is beautiful.
Right. You know, yeah.
The image quality is great. It looks
even what you're going to get later is beautiful. It's just there was issues with just like
there was. But again, when I watched it again on disc, I didn't have nearly the same trouble as I did on the stream. I think you'll be fine, Steve.
Yeah.
You'll know when you get there, though, what scenes there, you know, the people.
Yeah, fine. Well, in terms of the look of it, it looks exactly like season 8 of Game of Thrones. It's like they finished one and then just started shooting this. It looks exactly like that, albeit with a little bit more scope from the beginning with the aerial shots and obviously the dragons and stuff. So it looks great. It sounds lovely. Again, the dragons are doing exactly what they did towards the end of Game of Thrones. And you've got these, you know, flying over the screen and coming across the ceiling. And you always know where the dragon is in any scene, even the one on the bridge where the dragons, you know, there are two dragons, aren't there? One on one mountain and one on the behind them. And you can always tell where they are because you can hear where they are, which I think is quite a nice little touch. So that threat is ever present, even when you can't see them, which I think is quite cool. So no, I'm loving this so far, two episodes in and, you know, had we not been recording tonight, I would have been, you know, watching the third and fourth and everything else. And I will be tomorrow. It's very, very good. Who knew? Why didn't you guys tell me that it was really good? I mean, what the hell, guys?
Sorry.
Well, you know, we're going to... We're going to help, Van Gogh. What does DJ use again? And then we're going to help Paul out here because he's about to hit the floor. I got this on Kaleidoscape as it was coming out, if you guys remember.
I think he means as a disc player, DJ. I think he's talking about Brotherhood of the Wolf
and
the disc player.
I'm not sure if that's what Van Gogh means. No, because I know Bill did ask what might need to jumpstart his disc player, and I have a Panasonic 820. This actually dropped on Kaleidoscape as it was playing. Like, it was, I think it was right after that episode six
or seven when you started getting it.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. So they didn't drop until the day after on Kaleidoscape. So this would come out on Sunday night, and then Monday I would have it on my Kaleidoscape. And that's how I watched the rest of the season from then on out. And it's so much better than the stream. The streams are nice. They are nicer than they've been, and they're improving a lot. Especially now HBO in, was this in 4K stream?
It was 4K.
Okay. So this was better on the stream, even like as we saw it, compared to, you know, season 8, episode 3, you know, the Dark Night. Longest Night. And that one there was, it wasn't 4K, it wasn't HDR, and that sent the world into a tizzy because it was like you couldn't see it. I saw things. I thought it was good, but obviously once you get to 4K and HDR, that one was when that disc came out, you know, that season came out, everybody went right to that. And then they did the same thing here with, you know, House of the Dragon, and it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to, you know, season 2, whenever that comes out, and hopefully they'll do the same subscription thing. They've done it with a few other things on Kaleidoscape too. What else? Jack Ryan did it that way. Definitely worth picking up the disc of this, and like Steve did right away, and then waited 6 months.
And then he got the disc on time.
Yeah, day one. I bought the disc on release day.
Yeah. It's a great story. So
it's really well done. I mean, the other person that I watched it with, you know, after episode one, it was, you know, a 2-hour discussion about, so who is Danny's mum and great grandmother and grandmother, you know, and it's like, is it her? Is it him? Oh, I reckon it's him. No, it's going to be her. We had the longest talk about which one it's going to be. And then after episode two, again, you know, it's this fun of kind of guessing where this goes. And I'm sure you've got no idea. So it's, you know, it's great and really, really well told story. And also everybody in this are horrible to everybody else. They really are. It's not, it's not an advert for humanity, is it?
No. No.
No.
Well, no. It doesn't get better.
No, I've no doubt.
Oh, no. Definitely everybody is not.
properly horrible to everybody else.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Yeah.
You'd never want to meet any of these people in real life, would you? Not you know, these characters.
No. No. That's why I live in the woods.
Not a place to go and visit.
Exactly. All right. All right. Let me, this is going to be very quick, everybody.
Deej. Oh, man, I love that movie.
Deej. No.
Why?
No. Save it till next week.
Oh.
Really?
I've got the 4K disc coming on Friday.
There's a 4K disc of this?
Yep. It's coming from Germany.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You can save it if you like. Apparently, it's
I'll save all my comments for then.
Oh, and it's in Dolby Atmos as well.
Blu-ray.com. I got some home movies that would probably deserve it. Hey, more.
Don't show those again.
Oh, no. Let me just. All right. We'll save that to next week for everybody on the audio only podcast. What I was showing on the screen was Bloodsport.
Yeah, not Bloodshot. And
you're not going to wreck that movie for me, are you? Because I love that movie. But
well, let me.
In 20 years, but.
Remember Conan? Not that bad. And I actually put that in my notes. And the reason it's not that bad is no real, like, FX aspect. Effects, right? To ruin. It's all real, right? But it is, oh my god, the one. Yeah, I'll save my comments for next.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried. I spent £35 on this, getting this from from Germany.
You've been
had, Steve.
You're okay. I know this film backwards. I've seen it.
No, I know. I've seen it. I loved it. So yeah, well all right. Cool. We'll talk about that next week.
Spoilers for next week.
Sorry, buddy. Was that in the notes? Did I miss that in the notes?
No, I did mention it last week. I mentioned that I was going to be talking about
it
this week.
Why I bought it. Perhaps I had that in my head.
Because you had mentioned it, and I was like, hey, you're ruining next week's show. Oh, yes. And that's when I brought it up. So, all right, let's move right along then. And, you've seen this one. I've seen this one. You saw it first, but let's go.
Okay. Do you want to start then? Do you want to go on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking Punisher Warzone. And what year was this one out?
2008.
It's 2008.
Wow.
Yes, because the reason I remember is it is a Marvel character, and this came out the same year as Iron Man. But it's on Kaleidoscape. It's actually in 4K and Atmos. Mm. And you saw it in what? Yours was 1080p and 5.1. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I'm mixed in Neuralex, but yes.
Yes. So this is the one I had mentioned earlier that this is where I think you'd almost have proof in this particular scene that I'm going to talk about that when they upmix these or they give you an Atmos track, it's really just, all right, we're going to put it through the computer and tell it, you know, upmix it with Dolby surround, just like we do in our homes when we get a Dolby track or a, you know, a DTS track and we want to have object-based sound in our room. So there's a scene fairly early on in this movie where a character hangs from a chandelier and fires the guns. He's got two automatic rifles in his hands and he allows like the kick from the rifle to spin him around like a fan. This scene would have been in a true object-based surround would have been amazing. If they had remastered this with a true Atmos track, you would have had the sound going around the room exactly the way it should have, because that's what they were showing you, but it doesn't. It still sounds great. You can hear bullets flying all around you, but it doesn't rotate the way the character is rotating. And it was, like I said, that's not a knock. It's just, I think that if it was a modern object-based track, that's what we would get. And I don't think there's any way for our systems to upmix and say, spin the room. Because all it's basically saying is, it's like, okay, we have sound at these speakers and, you know, it's just upmixing it. So, but yeah, it's, I thought the 4K, I thought was great. Let me back that off. It was really nice. It was really nice. It was clean. I didn't find that there was excessive detail or anything that you got any. It's a high contrast movie to begin with, but it does play well in the 4K. The Atmos, as I was just saying, it is strong. I think it's just another, it's upmixed, and that's probably what Steve's going to tell you what he felt the same thing. It's got a nice bass in it. Not sure you see how far, like we were talking with Endgame and what Marvel has done, and Christopher Nolan, to be honest with you, and now Matt Reeves have done with comic book movies. This one here, when it first opens up, Steve, wasn't it just like, I don't know, the last time you saw Spider-Man or you saw, Hulk, the first Hulk movie, right? They all start with those images on the screen. It's almost like backstory images on the screen with a certain type of music. And you could, it's very formulaic. And you can see, like, this is how they're trying to make these Marvel comic book movies. And that's the first thing I thought of. And, you know, I'm like, it's just like the beginning of Spider-Man movies, you know, the Tobey Maguire movies. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It was good, you know, watching Ray Stevenson in one of his starring roles as a comic book character. So, what did you think, buddy?
Well, I that's the scene, of course. You can see it on there. That's him upside down.
Yeah.
In there. Yeah.
Realistic.
Yeah, I mean, there's very little about this film that's in realism. Again, we're talking about 25% realism from last week.
Oh, yeah.
About 0.2% realism. I only put it on again because of obviously what happened to Ray Stevenson and the same day.
Yeah.
You know, there are a number of movies I think of and series with him. He was in RRR, of course, but he was also in Rome, is probably the best that he's been in. The two series of that are absolutely incredible TV. And I didn't have time for that. So Warzone it was. Now, I think this is the first time I've seen it in the cinema room, because if you had asked me before I put the Blu-ray in, I would have said to you, there's a lot of black crush. It doesn't look that great. The audio's all right. And then I put the disc in. And when I started this up, I just was just blown back in my seat by how it looked, how it sounded. You know, the movie is the movie. A lot of people don't like it, think it's kind of very, just too over the top. I think Ray Stevenson looks like Frank Castle from the comics. You know, he kind of behaves like him, you know, how you'd imagine it. But the home theater stuff was way, way better than I remembered it being. Now, again, I prefaced that with those comments. There is black crush, but not much of it. The look of it still looks amazing. And there are bits of this. I said to you briefly last week that when I was watching it, I was amazed that it wasn't 4K. I was almost thinking, because it is out in 4K over there. It's not out here. There's a 4K disc available, which we don't have yet.
It's just upscaled, though. It's an upscaled 4K. That's probably what we have on Kaleidoscape. Yeah. So,
well, the Blu-ray, though, looks incredible. There are shots from close up on eyeballs, and there are shots where every pore can be seen again. You know, all the little capillaries in the eye, you can see all that. And it looks fantastic at times. It really does. And then I think the audio is, at times, again, bear in mind it was upscale, looks great, sounds great. It's kind of what you want it to be. There's quite a fun bit where a free runner is sort of jumping from one building to another, and he hits him with a rocket. It's in the trailer, I think. And that comes over the room. It came over the room. So that was quite a fun little thing. And when there's the giant shootout towards the end, the whole room is just echoing with gunfire and shouts and everything. I was really, really impressed with this 1080p DTS HDMA 5.1 Blu-ray. You know, this was actually really enjoyable as a home theater experience, which I was not expecting. I thought, again, I would have told you it was black crush and it was okay. But watching it again on the new system-ish, it's not that new now, but a newer room, it was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Anyone listening, anyone watching, if you've got the Blu-ray, and a lot of people will have it, bearing in mind how long ago it came out, then, you know, chuck it back in. Give it another watch and let us know what you think. I think you'd be impressed.
The 4K disc came out in 2018.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. 4K came out in 2018. It is upscaled. So I would imagine that the Blu-ray is probably, you know, if I had thrown in the Blu-ray, remember I've done a few where I'm like, hey, it actually looks pretty close through my system anyways. But yeah, it's in your television, you have a display and it's up converting anything anyway. So yeah. You're going to get a good image out of that. I had another one too at the 17 minute mark, the bass and the score. It was really nice. Like it just had a nice reverberation with each note, and I was like, oh, that is really cool. There's a lot of fun in this movie for the home theater experience. It's way, way over the top. Yes. I was thinking while I was watching it, it's like, it kind of made me want to go back and watch the Punisher series from Netflix, which now is on Disney Plus, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's a better story. Better played out, but this here, it has, I mean, from beginning to end, it's like, I can't remember how long it is. It's not very long. It's like a little over an hour and a half, right? And it's just good time in your theater. But it's, don't expect a lot of great acting. Don't expect, it's a little stiff at times.
Lots of violence.
Yes.
You should be, shouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. So that was Punisher Warzone from 2008 on disc. Steve had it on disc. And here you go, Paul. And I watched it on the Kaleidoscape.
Thud. That's the sound of Paul hitting the pub floor.
Thud. All right. What do we got next? John, you don't have anything else handy, right? Your next one is will be our last one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Steve. Why don't you hit that?
There, okay. Buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'll do this quite quickly then, guys. So this is Creed 3, on 4K disc with Dolby Atmos. So this was a first watch for me. And again, I'll do this quickly. I really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was good. And even with the extra Jonathan Majors as the bad guy stuff, recent events. I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed the film, and I liked that there were some attempts towards the end in the final fight to make it different to all the other ones we've seen before. Now, I know John saw it. I know, John, you enjoyed it, didn't you, in the theater?
I did.
Have you seen it yet, Deej?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. I have it. But I haven't seen it.
So they try something different with the end, and I think some people won't like it. I think some, and I've read online,
oh, really?
Some people that didn't, but some that do really like it. And I happen to think it was very cleverly done. And so it is an attempt to change the formula, which was good. I thought it was great. Now, in terms of the home theater side of it, again, I've read a lot of mixed reviews. People saying that it's not very dynamic picture quality, that the audio is pretty run of the mill. I think Ralph Potts actually wasn't massively over the moon with it. And I think he just sort of said it's okay. But I enjoyed it much more than that. You get some, I mean, there was some kind of raps music, rap lyrics and songs and stuff from, because some of it is set in 2002. Now, for those of us that like Dre's stuff from 2001 and 2002, which is in this, that's very cool. And the person I saw it with, we were both nodding our head along to it because we really liked that music. So that was very cool. The fight sequences, the music, the montages, which of course you've got to have, are really good, sound good. You know, there's plenty of movement in the audio and it looks okay. There are some close-ups that look really nice, but generally I suppose it is a little flat at times, but not enough to put you off buying it. I mean, I think it's a stylistic choice. I mean, obviously it's Michael B. Jordan's first directorial movie, and it may be that he's, you know, still finding his voice directorially. But I think it's still well worth getting. It's well worth seeing. And, you know, compared to buying it on the Blu-ray, get the 4K disc. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to watching it again. It was good and a worthy movie of the first two. So yeah, it was really good. You know, I recommend it.
Yeah. Cool.
Have you bought it yet, John? Are you going to buy it?
I haven't bought it yet. I don't own any of them on 4K yet. So I'm kind of holding out for a box set.
There is a box set. There is a 1-3 box set. So yeah. Nice. Yeah. They are decent discs. All three are decent. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm curious to see what you make of this, Deej, when you do get around to it.
Yeah. Chris said finally got around to this as well. I was a bit mixed on the end. So
yeah, and I get that. A lot of people have been, but it is an attempt to do something different, and I was quite happy to go with it. But you know, there it is.
For me, this was just another one of those movies where I feel like they give too much of the story away in the trailers. Like, I wish we would have seen their relationship unfold in the movie without knowing how it was going to play out from the trailers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt kind of a little bit that way with Dungeons and Dragons. And that's why I try to stay away from trailers. But, like, they really gave their whole relationship away right up front. And that would have been very interesting to see how it played out if you didn't know ahead of time what was going to happen.
Well, not only did they give it away in the trailer, they give it away in that shot.
Well, yeah, right. Of course, it's there, right?
No, it's front and center. I mean,
I guess at the end of the day, right? They're two guys that are built like tanks, so you know they're going to be in the ring together at some point. But
yeah,
you know, kind of like how they got there. I just felt like quickly, it was interesting. It? Yeah, it was interesting their relationship in the movie, and they just give it all away right up front. And I just wish they would not do. I know they have to sell these movies, but this is already Creed 3. You don't have to sell it. Like if I've liked one and two, I'm going to see three. You don't have to you don't have to bait that hook for me.
I am glad though that that Jonathan Majors didn't turn out to be Clubber Lang's son though. That would have been like one step too far.
Yeah, and you kind of were waiting for that, right?
Yeah. So I'm glad that was not the case. That would have been too far.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's good. Like I said, Deej, curious to see what you make of it when you see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know the way they filmed those scenes and stuff is supposed to, that's what I'm really interested in. It's like, there's some, I guess some of it was supposed to be an IMAX enhanced.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you?
One ratio. It doesn't change.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if they'll ever come out with that, because I know some of those scenes were filmed with IMAX cameras and stuff, and that was supposed to be some kind of a big deal, like first, I don't know, sports movie or boxing movie that was filmed with IMAX cameras.
There is definitely some camera trickery going on with the fighting. You know, the camera moves in ways that are not normal. It's not done in a run of the mill way. So they have tried to do that. But as I said, without giving anything away, the last fight does try something different, tries to make it more emotional and more internal. And hopefully that doesn't put people off. I don't mean that in a bad way, but and then you get what you've come for as well. You know, it's not like you only get you get both.
Right. Yeah. Cool. All right. Is that it? That's everything, right? We can wrap up with our, what I'm assuming is this week's title. No?
Oh, yes.
You think? All right.
Yeah.
Oh God, no.
Ruin my weekend, Deej. Don't ruin my weekend.
I'm not going to do it. All right. Let's go. We all experienced this on disc, but Steve is the only one to have experienced raging fire, and he's not a medical issue. Raging fire in 4K with Dolby Atmos on disc. John and I, unfortunately, you could see we both have the 1080p version with Dolby Atmos. And there's John's image. So Steve, why don't you take it away? I have some thoughts on this, but and I'm sure John does too, but
I almost want to hear what you two think of it first, because I know I love this.
Yeah. It's not what I was going for. What'd you think of the 4K first off?
All right. Okay. So Raging Fire, just so we know what we're talking about, the 4K on this, and the problem is if I over-egg this, you guys are going to think I'm showing off. But let me tell you this. It is fantastic in 4K.
Okay.
Now it was shot, as I understand it, in 4.5K, most of it, and I think that is very clear from the 4K disc. It looks beautiful from minute one. So it starts off in the storm with the arc sodium lighting, and you've got the rain and everything else, and then it flashes forward. It is razor sharp from the opening scene. There are details that are crazy. You can read the police badges that they are wearing. They've got lanyards around their necks and they've got the badge, and you can read their names on the badge and can read the police thing on their lanyards, even in medium shots. There's an early scene around a dinner table where they're having their food, and you can see the individual weave of the cotton of the tablecloth. And you can see all that clear as day. And then of course you then get to the HDR. So there are shots that are at night. There's a fight sequence in a sort of shanty town or a slum town, at night. And so the HDR kind of plays with the sort of yellow and orange lights of that. And then a final fight in a church where you get again the stained glass windows and you get the kaleidoscape, not that kind of thing. Kaleidoscopic.
Put your drink down, Paul.
Yeah. Put that drink out.
Put it down. Put it. Step away.
And you get a kaleidoscape of colors through the stained glass window, which the wider color gamut in the HDR really brings out. This is in terms of the 4K disc. Sorry, guys. I mean, I'm just saying what I've thought about it, and I've been saying to this to you guys.
That's what we asked.
Yeah, no, I know, but I
don't feel bad.
Not taking the mickey. The 4K image quality is reference. For me, you know how we talked last week about Train to Busan, John, and you mentioned that it's like that, but then some. It's that plus. It is awesome image quality.
Wow.
And the sound I found was really, really good. Really good. It opens with this storm. You've got the rain overhead, the heat style, you know, bank heist. You've got guns and bullets zipping all over the place and it's all going crazy. And then you get the fight at the end with again in the church with the thuds and the thumping of the punches and the kicks. I think the audio is very, 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 very good. Perhaps not reference because it doesn't go really super deep, and it's not as it at times it's as enveloping as any other, you know, top of the range 4K Atmos disc, but it's not quite reference for me, not quite, but the video is for me.
It's a lot like, did you mention Heat today or before?
Oh,
I know
before.
You've
mentioned it previously.
Okay, yeah, you've mentioned it. It's I think that's where the, I'm not saying the Atmos suffers. I'm saying it's like, it's not necessarily an action movie. So the spaces between the action kind of take it out from being a reference audio at disc, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a bit talky. So, you know, but you know what I mean? Whereas like you would never say Heat is a reference audio disc, but the dialogue in that is so important. But then that shootout at the end is amazing. But then you watch like Ambulance and you're like, yeah, well, that's just a, you know, natural disaster of sound. And it's awesome. Right. That's what we're looking for. This falls more in line with Heat, maybe a little bit more dynamic than I would say than Heat.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really good Atmos track. Don't let it dissuade you because we're not like, oh my God, it's amazing reference audio. No. But I would like to say, Steve, I'm like, I think you're only as good as your source. And what I saw, I kept checking. This is another one of those movies. I think I told you this last week after the show. I'm like, this is one of those movies I kept checking. Is this a 4K disc? It looked absolutely, the Blu-ray looked absolutely amazing. I actually said on the scene at the mall shootout, it's like 17 minutes into the movie, right? So they got, you know, you got your guns with the laser dots on it, and you got lasers going everywhere. You've got, it's dark. They're in it. I think it's closed, so it's very dark in there. Yeah. It's nighttime. Think the Batman. It was like that kind of a tone, right? Very dark. But then there were bright fires going on inside, like just burnt. So, I mean, a lot of great detail in there. And I kept saying, I'm like, the HDR is amazing. I'm like, oh yeah, this is just 1080p. This is, you know, it looked really good. That also had, I think that's the scene, it had really fun camera work. Didn't they have like the shoulder mount camera of some of the characters coming through? Almost had a video game type feel, first person shooter games as you're going through that particular scene. But again, we've said it before. Listeners have asked, you know, is it because of my video processor or something like that? So that's what I think is interesting. I want to see what, John, what did you think of the picture on this?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I obviously haven't seen the 4K disc, so I have no reference to what you were seeing, Steve, but I thought the picture was very nice as well. Now, again, I was probably somewhere in between DJ and his Lumigen and, you know, Steve with the 4K, and I probably had the worst picture of all three of us, but I still thought it looked very good. You know, like it, I don't know that, I wouldn't have classified it as reference quality picture. So again, I probably wasn't getting the same image quality that you guys were getting. But you know, kind of having been on the off air conversation we had last week after the show, where, you know, DJ was, you were saying you thought that the sound, the audio was a little bit weak. I didn't think so. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, that's right. That's this one. Yeah.
I didn't think
it just didn't go as deep.
I don't know. Like some points maybe, but like there's that scene with the storm in the alley or on the docks or wherever it was, like that was very deep, you know?
So,
and some scenes were, and like, maybe there were some scenes that I don't take notes on scenes. So I don't, have anything to fall back on, but I didn't feel that because I was listening for it because we had that conversation.
Right. And
I remember thinking that I thought the sound was pretty good.
So that's a, that's a great point and a great, and I'm so glad we had that conversation last week for you to be able to experience this. Now I want to ask you guys, when I said that to you last week, so to let the listeners know what we're talking about here is I had made the comment off air after the show. We were talking, Steve and I had already seen this, John hadn't. And I was saying that this isn't a, it's clearly not a Disney film. It's not put out by Disney, but I had said to John and Steve that if this was put out by Disney, people would be probably criticizing it for lesser in the audio department, a little bit less of the bass. And I wanted to see what they thought. And obviously John hadn't seen it before. Steve had, Steve didn't necessarily agree with me. Now here's my question though. You're what, and you already mentioned it, John. You're like, I was listening for it. That's what I'm taught. It's not something you can listen for. It's the feel. It's the booms. It's the, there's some thumps that I should have been feeling that I wanted to feel that weren't there that I don't mind. I clearly, that's not what I'm about. I am not this person, but it, I thought it was a great track, but I would be able to admit, like, say, like, yeah, it doesn't go down as low as some other tracks do. Now, if you're not used to getting that in your theater anyways, then you wouldn't be missing it. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's, and you, we've talked about that with your open space.
I don't really
and stuff.
Get it. Yeah.
Right. So now, Steve, you have an enclosed space, but I don't know how low your system goes. I don't know. Like, are you used to getting big rumbles up through your seat or punches in your chest in your theater?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Funny enough, watching Into the Spider-Verse yesterday, the whole film was like that, you know, you're feeling it all the way through. So yes, but having said that, and again, I agree with you about the, I mean, I'm in the middle of you guys now. I mean, cause I think the track is very, very, very good. I don't, again, I don't, it's not quite
right. So do I.
Because you're not, you know, it's not, you're not Saving Private Ryan, you're not Lucy, you're not these sorts of, again, Into the Spider-Verse, you're not like that. But within the confines of these kinds of movies, bearing in mind, because this I don't think is a genre movie, I think this one is a genuine attempt by the filmmakers to make a complicated-ish, textured, layered cop movie. I think this is going for heat. And then some. This is not a "you killed my master and my Tiger Crane style is better than your, you know, Duncan Master style." This is a genuine attempt to make an adult movie that's got layers and texture to it, plus all the martial arts stuff and the shooting as well. So I think within the texture of these kinds of movies, I think the audio is really, really good. But yeah, it, again, as I said, I wouldn't put it as reference. Not quite, but it's pretty close for me. And again, I, John, exactly as you say, the storms, the fight sequences in the hutongs, in the slum area, you know, that's got serious engagement and envelopment, and you feel the cut punches and the kicks and all that. And when the guns go off, you know that there's a gunfire going, there's a gunfire or a gunplay going on. So yeah, I, but the video is great. What did you think of the film though, guys? Just so I know, cause I love this movie.
Oh, I liked it.
What did you think of that?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was a bit puzzled by the random drops into English, you know?
Yeah, because, but it's a Hong Kong movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Hong Kong movie. It's all in Cantonese, I guess.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just randomly, they just drop a couple lines in English. And I was, it kind of took me out of it every time that happened.
Not even like, words.
Words.
Like in the middle. Yeah, it wasn't like a whole line in English. It'd be like everything is in like, you know, what is it? Mandarin, Chinese? Cantonese, I don't know what.
Cantonese.
Cantonese, right? And then they'd be like, please.
Right.
like they're saying like pass the pepper in Cantonese. And then at the end it says, please.
It didn't take me out of the movie at all. It just struck me kind of every time it happens that I thought it a little odd. But
I think that is actually verisimilitude. I think this is going for realism. Bear in mind, Hong Kong was a British territory until, you know, the 1990 something. So the idea that they would be bilingual and that they would be things like, okay, you know, please, as you said, you know, yes, sir. They say yes, sir a lot, don't they?
Right.
And that would be, it would be very common until then for them to move in between the two. I suspect that this would have been, they've had someone, the writer, the screenwriter's been in, you know, has gone and done ride-alongs and done spent some time with the Hong Kong police, and I suspect that is very realistic. I would not be surprised to find that's exactly how it is. So it didn't take me out of it. It's a bit odd if you haven't, you know, if you're not used to it.
I just wasn't used to it. It just struck me a little odd. Yeah,
but
there wasn't an English speaking character that was doing it.
But then I look when I'm in Spain, I drop into Spanish and English, and I swap between the two all the time. And we used to, as a family, when we were over there, we'd be talking normally in English. And then even to this day, as a family, when we're all together, we will use random Spanish words just because that's how we converse.
Right.
I think that the story of this is genuinely an attempt to make a serious movie.
I really enjoyed it.
I absolutely love this movie. And for me, even as much as I like the Ip Man films, I think this is probably my favorite Donnie Yen film. And I have seen John Wick 4 now since last week as well.
I haven't seen that yet.
Great in that. I'm very good in that.
Yeah. I'm still trying to schedule that with my son, John Wick 4.
But, it's a long film. Very good.
I know. That's what made it hard to do. It's like, huh.
And if you want to talk about lack of realism, have a look at that.
Well, yeah.
I said that a few weeks ago when I talked about it.
But this is great. I really like this film, and this is a film that I recommend to everybody. I don't think you have to be a martial arts movie fan to enjoy this. I think if you like well-told stories and if you don't mind subtitles with the occasional English word, then you're you're all good. And this really should be seen by more people. This should have been a crossover film. This should have gone into the mainstream more, in my view. But, you know, I would say that.
Let's see. Yeah. And Steve Ad has, there are good scenes with some bass rumble at 146:20, a gun battle, and 148:50, the grenade explosions. There are some really good scenes in this, good bass in it. But it just doesn't have that extended where you get the real nice punch. And that's the stuff that I think people are, I don't know why, but people are really focused on Disney right now. And I'm loving it. Like, I love this track, and I loved Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I love, you know, I mean, they're good tracks, good bass. They don't all have to be Lucy, you know, but people are just like, oh, I want a little bit more. And it's like, well, okay. And that's what I had mentioned to you guys last week. I'm like, I feel like if this was a Disney film, people would be like, oh, there should be a little bit more. But it is. It's like you said, Steve, it's like, it's plenty there. You know, it's just not, you know, it's not Lucy.
Would you want every film to be like
Lucy? No.
I mean, because I don't think that would be comfortable. And also, right, it's not going to do your equipment any good, or the foundations of your room or house, yeah, or drywall.
Right.
You're going to crack the plaster on these things. So you don't need that. You can, not every film requires it. Not every film, right, wants that. And I think that those films that do it stand out. I mean, yeah, King of Monsters is another one. It's one I always think of, because in the opening couple of seconds,
yeah,
you hear a foot go and the whole room shakes.
Yeah.
And I've had to, little viewing buddy wants to rewatch all the modern Godzilla films, which he hasn't seen. And I've got to pre-warn him about, ooh, the bass in King of Monsters, because when that goes down, the whole room just shakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really good. Oh, are you guys still there?
Yeah,
we're here.
Yeah,
well, are you?
Suddenly, well, yeah, bizarrely, my screens just went black.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. No, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
That was dark for a first second.
All right. So that's it for that. Are we done with all that? I hope. I just took them all out.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, really good. All right. Really good week, and I can't wait for next week now, Deej.
Bloodsport. Yeah, me too.
Bloodsport.
Hopefully, I'll have John Wick by then as well. So
yeah,
on Kaleidoscape, Paul, I haven't said it. I know you saw it on a screener.
Yeah, it was on a screener, but it's great. All I would say is you can have too much of a good thing. It felt like eating an entire chocolate cake.
Yeah.
You know, you start off and you're like, oh, I'm loving it. And by the end of it, you're like, I'm feeling a bit sick now. I might have had a bit too much.
Well, don't ruin it.
No. It was great.
All right. You ready to get to what we've got a bunch coming on Tuesday. So you ready to get to that? We have an open. Sure. I didn't do the open for our home theater experiences. We were so excited to get to them. But I think we did name every title this week. So we're good on that. All right. All right. We got a few minutes here, so let's get through these. First up, coming up on June 6th, Tuesday, June 6th, we have four of the Raiders movies coming. Indiana Jones, I should say. Indiana Jones and what? Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones. I can't even read all these. Last Crusade. And what was it?
There you go. Like, now, are these steelbook releases, or these are already out?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Are they out individually?
I don't know.
Because I've got them in the set, so I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
I think they might not be individually, and now they're being. I think they were released as a set, and now they're coming out individually.
Okay.
Because I thought the same thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I bought the set.
I put these all four of these here are on the page just so I didn't have to scroll through four different movies. So they are coming out individually. I just put them all on the same page. But I think in the past they used to, it was just as a box set or whatever. So
Now four has serious issues, but you've still got to have them all. You can't just have one, two, and three. Surely.
Well, if you bought the box set,
I mean, you need to have them all. You can't skip over them. It's a Spielberg movie. You've got to have them.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. I have them all.
Yeah,
but
I mean, four is
Paul. Poor Paul's dying over there. I have them all in Kaleidoscape.
It says he's still here. Hick.
Yeah. Poor guy. Feel your pain. All right, and we also have coming. Both of these is, Super Mario Brothers. I think
this might have now been delayed, Deej.
Has that one been delayed? So I'm going to be showing this again?
Yeah, I think it's been delayed because I looked it up today and it's not on Amazon. There's no release date on there. And then I look back at Blu-ray.com and I can't find it anywhere else either. If it is coming out, I'm importing it straight away. But I don't think it is. I think it's been delayed.
1 week. Blu-ray.com is saying it's coming out June 6th. Still saying that for us anyways. And this is the, collectible steelbook. There's also, I didn't add it in there. There's also one more edition coming out. It's the Walmart disc set. It's like it's a different long box and stuff. I didn't throw that in, but there's a Walmart one too.
Paul's just put in the chat. Do I have to drink four times because you've got all four?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I thought it was only for the word, not if you're going to be drinking for every movie I own, for God's sakes.
It's like be dead.
Actually, yeah, exactly.
Alcoholic.
Or Steve owns more movies than I do.
Yeah, but not Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
No. No, but that's just how you play them. It's like saying I had them on Laserdisc, too.
Even if you had the drink for every movie DJ has more than one copy of, you'd probably still be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, Bloodshot would kill you alone.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. If we count all the different things, you've got more films than me. If you count all individual copies.
So, actually, let's get back to that for a second. Did you just start collecting with Blu-ray? Like, you know what I mean?
No, Steve? But like, I'm talking about just Blu-rays that you have.
Yeah. Well, did you see Steve's collection?
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. It's
I get that a lot. You know, I don't. No complaint. Oh, sorry, you mean the collection. Yeah. It's just under 800 4K discs now, and then about 1800 Blu-rays. I've got no DVDs. I sold those years ago. So those are all Blu-rays and then 4Ks. Viewing Buddy was asking me earlier today. He suddenly become fascinated by that. So yeah, it's quite a few. But there are people on Twitter with a lot more. You know, 4K discs as well. I know someone that's got over 900. Right.
But there aren't even that many 4K movies.
Yeah, well, quite. Bear in mind, I've not got the Fast and the Furious movies other than the first one. Hunger Games, I haven't got any of those.
I got all those. Yeah. You know, I got all the Harrys. I got all that. Yeah.
So, you know, I
don't have them in 4K on disc?
I don't 4K have them disc? I don't
like those. The Harry Potters are like, I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but.
Yeah,
the discs alone are amazing experiences. 4K, DTSX. You and I are together on that one. I'm just, we did Harry Potter. We still have one left to do. We should bring Meg on and do that one. Meg and Dr. Joe on the show. That's a crossover from the other show.
I saw the first one in the theater. I watched what I thought was about an hour of it. I went out, I balanced my checkbook. Came back in, the usher had a Game Boy, and I sat with the Game Boy and played what I thought was about an hour. Came back in, and it still felt like there was an hour left. And I've never seen one since.
Wow.
I can't do it. Even though J.K. Rowling grew up about 5 minutes from here, I know.
Even though, like, that means you have to like it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of local, sort of local lore.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, sorry, I got you off this again. Sorry.
No, that's fine. All right. Let's get to what's the next one? Oh, yeah. Clear and Present Danger coming on June 6th in 4K. Probably going to look better than Air Force One.
Well, you did that, didn't you? You've reviewed that not that long ago, didn't you?
Clear and Present. I think I did this one. And accidentally, because remember I did the one before it. What was the title? Patriot Games. That's the one I meant to watch, but I ended up watching this. It looked great, sounded great, and it was better than, I mean, holds up better than Air Force One did. That was a little rough. It looked great and sounded great, but the special effects were tough. The Rules of the Game from 1939.
Never Search me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was depending on you, Steve.
Sorry.
You're the learned one here.
But I'm the youngest.
It doesn't mean anything.
We're closer to the release.
You should remember this. Come on, guys.
I'm the dumbest. What the hell?
Weren't you there on opening day? Come on, fellas.
Well, yeah. Popcorn was stale. Lord of War from 2005.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I've seen this, yes. It's not what you think it is.
It's a strange movie. It'd be interesting to see how it holds up. Lionsgate, who released it, would be interesting to see how it.
It's based on a real person.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, shady. But I wonder how it holds up. I've got it on Blu-ray. I'll have to rewatch that.
I want to say the person, I don't remember the person it's named, but it just came up recently around here. Remember we exchanged a person for the female basketball player in Russia?
Hmm.
We had this guy, and that's who this was based on.
We exchanged Nick Cage for a basketball player. Outrageous.
that's who this was. And the only reason I know that is because I'd heard that was the exchange, and they were trying to say like how bad a person that was, and they're like, they based a movie on, you know, Lord of War was based off of his actions, and I'm like, I've seen that movie. I'm like that was Nick Cage. But yeah, so yes, I liked the movie. I didn't know at the time that it was based on a real character, but eesh, scary. Let's see. What else we got here? We got, oh, the Mummy Trilogy from 99 to 08. I saw the first one. Wasn't a fan.
I was going to say, I feel about this the way Steve feels about Harry Potter.
Ah, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. This is the only movie I ever walked out of was the Mummy one.
I didn't walk out, but I didn't like it.
What? I walked out of it halfway through.
Outraged, fellas.
And I'm now my wife loves them, so I have since seen it about a dozen times. I still don't like it, but I've seen it.
You know what this movie reminded me of? And I've only seen it the one time in the theater.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was all excited going in and I walking out and I swear to God, this is the only, I remember thinking this at the time. I'm like, and it's held up in my memory. It was like ordering Rocky Road ice cream and you're just stuck with vanilla. I was like, I walking out of the theater going, what the hell was that? It was just so like blah. That's all I remember is how blah I felt walking out. Now, what did you think? Did you feel that, Steve, John? Really, like,
well, I don't know because I didn't, like I said, I walked out of it. Oh, yeah, you
walked out.
Obviously, I wasn't even getting vanilla because I would have ate that.
But, it had melted.
But, yeah, you know, I was like, yeah.
Steve obviously likes these.
So go ahead, Steve. Talk us into it. I've got the Kaleidoscape ready.
Paul's out cold. Right, so the first one is fantastic. I really, really like the first movie. It's Indiana Jones meets Curse of the Mummy, you know, meets kind of the universal horror stuff. It's great, the first one. Really, really like the first one. And again, guys, I dread to think, bear in mind I was working in a cinema in 99 when this came out, and I would have seen it 20 or 30 times before it left the theaters. And I've owned it on DVD, Blu-ray, and I've got the 4K discs of these already. It's been out here for ages, in all three. So the first one's an absolute, in my view, classic. And I'm not even going to say it's a guilty pleasure either. I think it's just a great film. The second one is fun. It's very campy, and got an example of the worst CGI known to man at the end, which is when the Scorpion King turns up, which looks like a video game from the time. It's dreadful. It's famously bad. And then the third one, it was a long time afterwards, and there are cast changes, and the mummy in that is Jet Li.
So you get a little Wushu
and you get a little bit of kind of mummy. I mean, it's not great, the last one, and the second one is okay, but the first one is a classic, I reckon. But I appreciate it. I am surprised you kind of thought, you know, you
I don't know why I just really dislike it, but my wife, again, my wife loves it.
I genuinely, I mean, I could watch the first one. I've seen it many, 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 many times. And I could, again, a little bit of a Shawshank film, guys, for me. You put it on, I will watch that to the end. I know just about every line, every scene of that film again, just because of the sheer amount of times I've seen it. And by the way, the 4K disc of the first two are very nice indeed. So, you know, I think I might be wrong, but I think they're in DTSX. Let me double check that.
I think you might be right. On Kaleidoscape, they're all just DTS 5.1. They're all in 4K, but they're all 5.1. So I don't care either way.
Well, honestly, someday. I'll probably pick it up for her, and so I'll probably end up watching them again at some point because, like I said, Lydia really likes them. Now, again, the first one. And the second one. I don't think we've ever seen the third one.
Sorry, guys, just 2 seconds. My monitor's gone off again. There you go. They're all three are in DTSX.
Nice.
And if ever there was a sound demo for that too, it would be that, because the opening sequence has all sorts of screaming and gunshots and horses' hooves and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, there are worse movies out there.
Let me see. Tom Cruise's Mummy is in Atmos.
Yeah, that's a very different quality film. I think we can all agree that.
I didn't like that either.
No,
well, I didn't see that one. I had high hopes for it though.
Well, I did too.
Yeah,
because they were launching their whole MonsterVerse.
Right.
Sounded awesome.
Crushed.
Yeah, but it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, that's the film, by the way, that was the movie that made me choose between a projector and a TV. Because I remember seeing
because I remember seeing it
in the theaters and thinking, if I get a projector, the HDR is going to be, because it was back then the Sony projectors that I could afford, the £5,000-6,000 ones, only had this sort of pseudo HDR. It was kind of
right.
It was not the true HDR stuff. And I remember watching that film and thinking, well, those black levels will not look good if it's not proper HDR. And I thought, right, you know what? I won't have my 81-inch screen. I'll go for a 75-inch screen and have full proper HDR. It was watching that film in the theaters that made me think about it. Mm. Probably shows how unengaged I was with the story that right. I was thinking about that while I was watching it. but I do have the disc, the 4K disc. I've only seen it once. It's not great.
All right. And this one here, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, so it must have been delayed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It was. And it's not here for a while. It's been out here a couple of weeks.
So. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So we're just getting it now. And then we are also getting... I'm sorry. You know what we didn't say? We didn't say what that was. Strange New Worlds, Star Trek, Strange New Worlds.
They might have just pushed it for season. I mean, because season two starts on like the 16th.
So, well, it says it's coming June 6th. I wonder if they pushed it out for us because of that.
The release. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So, but then why release it in the UK? That doesn't make sense. So I don't know.
Ugh, they don't matter. and we also have Toy Story coming in a Disney 100 anniversary steelbook. Along with that, on Tuesday, June 6th, we have Coco from 2017 also coming in a Disney 100 steelbook. And from 2006, Cars. Yeah. In a Disney 100 steelbook. So that rounds out. Would you be picking up any of those?
I've got them already.
Got them.
Do you really?
Yeah.
In 4K?
I don't have Cars in 4K.
Yeah.
But I have Toy Story and I have Coco. I love Coco.
Yeah, it's a great
film. It's a fantastic.
Yeah, lovely film.
Yeah.
Presumably Olivia loves that as well, though. John, Lydia, because of course, Lydia, forgive me. Yeah. Presumably she loves those as well, because of course it's all traditional kind of Mexican music and culture and everything else.
Yeah, she does. She really likes it.
Yeah, nice.
I can't believe I don't have Cars yet too, because I loved that movie. I saw that in the theater with the kids.
I love that movie. For some reason I don't have that, but I won't buy the steelbook because I don't have any of the.
It's available
ones.
In 4K. I've got the 4K disc. It's really nice. The reflections on the cars and that look almost three dimensional. It's fantastic in 4K. And I've got Cars 3 as well. I don't have Cars 2, but then that's not very good.
Let's grab this listener experience very quickly here. Just we'll do a couple just because they're left over from the week before. So let's get to, where is it? And you want to grab that quick? One of yous?
Yep. Do you want me to do that one? Should I do that? Because you did one earlier, John. Sure. So it's headlined. Could you just read what the title at the top is, please, Deej?
Kaleidoscape, Paul.
Brilliant. Well done. Excellent.
Casecape.
Okay. So we'll
feel like I'm on a game show. It's like I'm like whoever talked to Bob Barker. Like, hey, next up. Go ahead, Steve.
It says, hey, DJ, love your show. Been listening for about a year and look forward to it every week. Last week you mentioned to John that he may not like the, what's that next word, Deej?
Kaleidoscape.
Because he does not watch movies the way you do, direct quote, referring to the fact you like to jump around and watch scenes. I think this is a vast simplification of the benefits
Kaleidoscape
brings. I've had mine for about 6 months, and it's by far the best thing I could have added to my theater. It elevates everything: picture, sound, usability, etc. And now with the cataloging feature for your current physical discs, it's even better. John should absolutely buy a
Kaleidoscape
ASAP. Yes, it's expensive, but he will love it and be kicking himself, and maybe you too, charming, for making him wait so long and trying to talk him out of it. Just my opinion, Basil.
Yeah. So this came in a few weeks ago, and we had a great back and forth. And I said to him, I'm like, you know, I love it, but I have to be honest with people because I would rather talk them down a little bit and have them, like, and especially like John. And like John and I said back then, I've talked about it forever with him about stuff like this and not other things as well. And like John said, it's like, you know, there's different priorities here and there, but I always try to give, like, I am super positive about stuff. I love my gear, whatever I buy, but it's for me. But at the same time, I have to, I feel it responsible, especially on something as large a purchase, I would hate for somebody to buy something because DJ loved it and then have buyer remorse on something that was thousands and thousands of dollars, because I can totally see how somebody would get that because they don't utilize it the way I do. And it's, you know, and John's a great example. We're both in the same, you know, economic situation. It's costly to us. And the benefits that we get are pretty much the same. It's like, we don't have the money to take advantage of the extra things it does. I'm not sure if how did you say it, Steve?
Basil.
I'm not sure if his do as well. It sounds like he's kind of in the same situation. Like, he loves the picture, the sound, the usability. It is. It's fantastic. Absolutely love it. But if you're fine, like Steve is and John is, putting the discs in, you may, after spending thousands and thousands of dollars, be like, what did I do? And I'd hate to have that, but
to be fair, that's a simplification of conversations that we've had.
Oh yeah.
Many conversations we had. I mean, just to be clear, I would absolutely love to have one.
Right.
It's not that I don't want one. It's just that the financial priority of it,
right,
is not top of my list. You know, if I had an extra $8,000-$9,000 laying around, I'd love to have one. And right. I get all the benefits of it. I totally understand it's more than just jumping from scene to scene, but I don't feel like it's high priority for me right now. You know,
right.
But it's not that I am not on the, like, I am on the ledge. Don't get me wrong.
It's not that bad.
It wouldn't take that much to push me over. You know, I right. would love to have one. It's just, like I said, for the way I would use it, even with all those benefits, I'm watching more movies right now than I usually ever watch because, you know, it's between TV seasons and, you know, there's not as much stuff, but we watch just a lot of television.
Right.
And, you know, I don't spend hours and hours and hours every week watching movies. You know, I usually will get, you know, in the middle of like winter when there's a million TV shows on, I'm lucky if I watch a movie a week, you know, otherwise it's a series or something else. So it's just not high on my list, but I'd love to have one, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love mine. And I mean, I have yet to hear somebody get one and not like it.
Right.
But I think that has more, well, I think it's a great product for one, but I think when you're spending that kind of money, you do your research. Right. You know, and then by the time you're ready to get it, you're committed to it. And, you know, there's a lot of that. And I think John Brock and I talk about it a little bit in this week's podcast where we're like, you know, it's, I don't think it's like you're justifying it after the purchase. It literally is. I mean, it is just a quality product, right. But you don't plunk that kind of money down and cross your fingers. Right. You know, by the time you get it, you're like, all right, I can finally afford this. And wow, it does live up to everything you thought it would. And, you know, I honestly can say it surprised me, actually. So, but yeah, I just don't want people to think it's, you know, I want to be as realistic as I can.
What product are we talking about, Deej?
Kaleidoscape.
Sorry, what was that? I missed it. Can you just say that again?
It's The Kaleidoscape.
It's the end of the show, so we're really trying to put him
right
on the mat. Midnight again, too, right? So
yeah. He's in London. Yeah.
We got Stephen Add has 500 plus discs invested with Plex. I could afford the Kaleidoscape. Wife then go for a 3-carat ring. But I do not desire to own my media, nor do I want to rebuy again, nor convert again. just to be clear, when you have a Kaleidoscape, you do own your media, just like you own it on your Plex. And it's actually more, I would say, you have a better shot at not having to buy your media yet again, because this is how I justify it. I've bought VHS, I've bought Laserdisc, I've bought DVD, I've bought Blu-ray, and now 4K, and then I stop there at Kaleidoscape. And what's nice is I am now, you know, with their buyback thing, I'm actually upgrading my Blu-rays at like for $4 to get into a 4K. A lot of people are putting this out on social media that don't own Kaleidoscapes, that don't understand. It's as physical as your Plex server. It's as physical as taking your disc, putting it onto your Plex, and you own it. As a matter of fact, last week, I got up on a Sunday morning and went to watch a movie, and my Kaleidoscape app didn't work on my phone. I was like, uh-oh, Kaleidoscape was down. Oh, no. Went into my room, hit my remote, watched a movie on my Kaleidoscape. Because I'm not connected to, you don't need, once you have it, you own it. If it's on your hard drive, you have it. And you have upgradability when the better version comes out later. So it's just as you own the movie and you have it. I've used this example before. That's one of the beauties of Kaleidoscape, is that once it's there, you don't need any internet whatsoever. And that's why they put it on yachts. That's why they put it in the middle of a woods in a cabin for these, you know, rich people. They bring in the hard drive and just go, boom, there's all your movies, and no internet, no nothing. You just have everything right there, and it works perfect. So just for clarity.
I think someone new in the chat, Mia Francis Deeds, who is I think saying something similar, just because somebody,
oh yeah, there we go,
it was nice to welcome new people, who says it's an absolutely phenomenal product. Even having worked at a dealer, it took me some time to buy one, even at a reduced price, and focused on building out the rest of my system first. So that's our ethos, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
justify it when you need to, when you want to, and if you can.
Yeah.
But it's priorities, isn't it?
Absolutely an end game product. I got my Lumigen before I got that, and the Lumigen meant more to my system than the Kaleidoscape did. The Lumigen upgrades everything in my system, upgrades my streaming, upgrades my discs, upgrades my Kaleidoscape, does all of that. So that to me is a better, you know, a more important purchase if you're trying to allocate as you're going along. But I've seen people online saying Kaleidoscape is the best thing to do first, do that before everything else. And I'm like, I kind of don't agree with that, but to each his own, and whatever you like to do, that's, you know, I have a listener that got his job at Best Buy just to get a Kaleidoscape 50% off.
Yeah, I remember you saying before. Yeah.
So pretty cool. We can wrap up on that. Is that cool? We got have some listener comments, but we will get to them next week, as you know, we push forward here. But thank you to everybody that has donated or is a Patreon supporter. We haven't gotten any new Patreon supporters in a while, so we could use a few more of those, because at least 50% of our money goes to a donation each month. And this month is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Like I said, we're up to like $800 because anonymous donor gave $522 already. So thank you very much for that. And everybody else that has donated this month, I'll have the total next week for everybody. Obviously, more importantly, I'll have the total for Joe. So you can match it. But yeah, thank you everybody that's supported us, monetarily, just talking about us, getting the word out. That's how we're getting, you know, we're getting bigger and bigger and just more and more fun, you know, talking to people on the chat and online on, you know, Twitter, and just having a lot of fun talking home theater. So thank you to everybody. And, thank you guys. It's been a great month. Our biggest donation month yet. Mm-hmm. I thought the, you know, Roseanne was going to be with the, marathon bombing, but wow, juvenile diabetes. Thank you very much. It hits a lot of people. So that was great. You guys good?
Yep. Well, let's just check in on Paul. He has just put something in the chat. Let's just make sure he's still alive. Otherwise, you know, we could get sued. And as your lawyers, I should advise against it. So, Paul, yep, looks like he's alive. He's still making sense in the chat. So I think
we can get away with it. Too bad. We tried.
Where's next week?
All right. Yep. All right. What do we got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
There we go.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.